Thank you for your patience. And if it so happens that some of this commentary, which I'm afraid was sort of off script, but if it did not get captured, I'll have to try to just insert it later. But let's continue. We were just talking about the ATM machine and the strategic reason for inserting, from the perspective of power, of inserting Trump into our prospects for a free future. So this ATM machine we've been arguing is the big con, grabbing all the land, all the resources, and then training us to be obedient, predictable functionaries who are trained to respond to the carrot of money and to the carrot of recognition, because resources are made scarce, love and appreciation and attention is made scarce. So, point being, we are created to be small intentionally. This is never discussed on the left, except by Prince and Alice Miller, a few folk, which we don't get to have our discussions of, and that has to change for us to grow bigger. But these guys, and inserting Trump, obviously, and getting us all afraid is number one on their to-do list. But they have some less soaring, but nonetheless pressing, tasks to finish up. And it should also be remembered and kept within our hearts. The advice Jesus and many other wise guides to love gave: we know each other by our acts and their effects. And in Power's case, they're known particularly by their acts and by what their acts accomplished, generally with the amplification provided by the media. Usually there's like an orchestrated campaign through which we can see the power guys doing what they love best, manipulation. So it's also their acts in interrelation and synthesized, i.e. we see their intentions by their acts. The only reason to read the propaganda sheets and their hidden hand is becoming ever more transparent with their insertion of Trump and his scary unpredictability, quote unquote. And on this tip, we owe Hillary Clinton a debt. She forced the power guy's hand, and I will be forever grateful to her for that. So on one of their tasks on their to-do list, they really want to bring their boy Edwin Snowden home. I mean, this is not the only suggestive item, this full-page ad. A full-page ad in the New York Times that says, bring our boy home, is not so subtle suggestion of their longing to bring the boy home, or words to that effect. Evidence is this: wherever money is flowing, power's hand is holding the urn. Black Lives Matter again comes to mind. It has several times in the course of these shows. They really, and I'm referring back to Edward Snowden, they really want to set Barack up to take the hit. Historically, we gotta always remember they think long. They plan long. And so their intention to install hardcore totalitarianism didn't spring to mind a few years ago, not even a few decades ago. It's been a couple centuries they've had this mission rolling along. They have a goal. They know what they're going. We've talked about how that makes them effective repeatedly during these shows. They really want Barack to take the hit historically for what they're calling, for instance, in the New York Times of November 14, 2016, the imposition of a harsher security regime in the U.S. And obvious from even before the Republican nomination was up for grabs. They like House Speaker Paul D. Ryan for the say-so seat, the presidency. Now, who's to say their timeline? And they do take pride in looking long. And they must, as Plato told them and Kissinger repeated, temper the ideal with the possible, which is always changing. But it's hard to miss that the global statesmen are worrying their bits at this moment, else I doubt they would have brought us the theater piece, Trump the Extreme. Doesn't the bile just rise to think of it, that in the eyes of the global statesmen, our deaths and misery are just their chips and cheese and entertainment they munch for lunch? And doesn't this mean, then, that we must, with an equal force to their thrust of him on us, turn away from their horror story theatrics and begin designing our loving alternative, initiated, as Prince recommends, with music, dance, and a regenerative romance, a holy respect and appreciation for each other's bodies. I mean, that is the core of this system. Disrespect of our physical existence, our bodies, from infancy on. A state, therefore, could never do this for us. Only we can do this for each other. States will ever attempt to prevent our doing so, honoring each other's bodies, wanting to further each other's lives, which is how we grow as human beings, under the guidance of our earth-given gift of love, owning no authority but love. Statesmen are in the way of this necessary evolution to love. And a holy respect for each other's bodies means we don't try to coerce each other, don't attempt to subtly or obviously overtax each other's creative gifts, our love. And I'm talking about when we all come together to plan that party for Prince and our one-day global general strike. That is the goal. And that shakes out the agents. Trying to disrupt that basic goal is how they out themselves. Because we ain't trying to coerce nobody. We ask for help with our particular project. If we got a good idea, people vote with their feet. Okay, I'll help you do that. That makes sense to me. But it is key that we begin regrowing. What's the right word? Kickstarting our thought process. We have not been aware, because we haven't been discussing these issues consciously, the degree to which the thoughts we think are power given and recirculated. We need to begin to think authentically. That means working with these fresh ideas that we hear together by discussing the texts that have been suppressed, including Prince, and with these suppressed ideas, begin thinking new thoughts and sharing them with each other, thinking for ourselves. Restarts our process of developing love and empathy, tied as it must be with our grief for what has been done to us in having our authentic self stolen from us.